Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. In today's program, we are studying the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Here's Pastor Ryan.
Paul says, man, I'm weak. I'm a clay vessel. I'm fragile. Handle with care, you know. I think the Apostle Paul noticed in his life and in his ministry, as God was using people powerfully, he recognized that God used weak people. He can see that they were weak physically, weak, or, you know, speaking-wise, maybe intellectually. In the flesh, they were weak. But the powerful things that he saw, he came to that conclusion that God uses weak people so that the excellence of the power would be in God and not in the messenger. We're nothing. So that God can be seen. And every true believer wants God to be seen. Not that we are seen, but that he is seen. We don't use the things of God for our self-glorification, so that people would think we're spiritual. We need to be humble as Christ was humble. We need to be humble as the Apostle Paul was humble and learned to be humble. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29, he says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty and the base things of the world and the things which are despised. God has chosen and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Paul told them to look around. Look at yourselves. There aren't many wise according to the flesh. We're not wise in and of ourselves. If we're wise, it's because of the grace of God. If any of you lacks wisdom, God says to ask him and he'll give it to us liberally and that without reproach. So there's not many of us that are wise, but doesn't he make us wise nonetheless? There are many of us that are not mighty, but God gives us his strength, doesn't he? There are many who are, most of us are not noble, yet Jesus Christ has bestowed upon us his nobility of righteousness. We're weak, but he is strong. Don't let the devil lie to you that you have to be some, you know, specimen of spirituality and look a certain way and smile a certain way and wear a certain thing and have enough education and have enough degrees. Really? Like who? Peter and John were in the temple with the Pharisees, the same people that killed our Lord, Caiaphas and the other religious leaders there. And they recognized that, oh, they heard Peter and John speak boldly, and they recognized by their accent or their tone or whatever, these dudes aren't educated. But they could tell that they had been with Jesus. Give me some of that. Give me some of that. So that the power and the excellence can be of God, not of us. Because Satan is, his disease of pride has spread to every man. And for Christians, we should decrease daily and God should increase. And we should watch out for pride. And the Apostle Paul is hitting on these very things. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Turn with me to Philippians 2, please. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God,
But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. The humility of our Lord, humbling himself, making himself of no reputation, humbled himself to be a bondservant to where he cleaned, he washed the disciples' dirty feet. Our Lord teaches us that as Christians, we are to be servants and bondservants, slaves we are to be of God, not seeking our own will, not being dependent of God, not giving him the parameters to which he can work in our life, but saying, we are yours. We're an open book. If there's anything you don't want in my life, take it from me. If there's something you want to add to my life, Lord, you are king. Add to my life. I'll do anything for you. To be humble is to be dependent on God moment by moment. To be prideful is to be independent of God moment by moment. Or maybe sometimes independent, sometimes dependent. Just make sure you pray for that happy meal. It proves you love God. There's a lot that proves we love God. Depending on him moment by moment. Doing what he says. Verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, Paul says. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. The Apostle Paul here is talking about, you know, the troubles that he went through, the pain that he suffered as an apostle of the Lord, and his guys as well. Anybody who desires to serve the Lord with all of their heart is going to suffer similar pains in their life. It's the demands of the ministry that is a real thing. Serving the Lord can be incredibly tough, incredibly hard. But don't be discouraged. The Apostle Paul, speaking concerning himself and the other apostles in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, he says, we are men condemned to die in the arena. It's that hardcore for them. They're just filled with troubles because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And the metaphors that he uses right here that I just read, it's a contrast between human weakness and God's enablement. Human weakness and God's enablement. These are both troubles that are physical and psychological. Welcome to the ministry. I never thought it would be what it is. The more we give ourselves to the Lord, the greater the pressure becomes, because you become a target of the devil. If you do nothing, you'll face little pressure from the devil, and you'll be miserable as a Christian. And you'll be in the lower parts of heaven looking up at all of us. The troubles grow because the blessings grow. Look around us, guys. We started in the house. My wife and I knocked on doors and said, you know, we're going to have a Bible study at our house. You want to come? Now look at what God has done. You think Satan likes the fact that God gave us 1.6 acres and classrooms for the little lambs to be taught and for us to have this warm and cool place to come and worship the Lord? You think the devil's happy? You think the devil's cool with that? He's not. He's not. We speak truth here. Those kids get truth. Out there in the schools and in this world, they get nothing but lies on the media and TV. They're getting truth here. We have become a greater target because the blessing has become bigger. I better get with the program or I'm going to get run over. And that's what's been happening the last 3 years. You know, I told the first service, like, if I had hair, it'd be all, are you okay, Pastor Ryan? Yeah, I'm trying to figure out this new bigger blessing. It's more is required of me, more is required of you. And I get what Paul is saying here, but I want to give myself more because it's the The contrast of trouble and enablement and blessings. So he says, we are hard pressed on every side. We are hard pressed. He basically is saying that there's a pressure on their life as if they're being squeezed from every side. You ever feel that way? Squeezed from every side. Pressure. And it gets heavier as you go along. But he says here, we're not crushed because who? Because of God. So the press gets heavier, no doubt. It'll make a pastor not talk and sit there pensively like, what in the world am I going through? What is happening? You just sit there and ponder. Love hurts. Heartache hurts. When you minister to people's lives, there are stuff that is so heartbreaking that we minister these painful family situations that you sit there and you're just, it's a press. It's a press. Because you sense the darkness of Satan trying to destroy people. And the Lord allows you as you grow in the Lord to feel that press. It's God breathed all day. God allows the enemy to, it's like shaping you and molding you to be more like Jesus. And then all of a sudden you're not crushed. You come out of it. Woo, 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 that was heavy. Now let's go get some double doubles or something. That was a trip. And that's how it's like. Nobody told me that when I took the job. You really are a mess. You got to get through it. You're not crushed. You're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. The word perplexed means not knowing or understanding how to figure out a problem. You know, God's always teaching us. He's always bestowing upon us knowledge and wisdom as we walk with Him. In a practical sense, logistically, dealing with the church, dealing with the county, dealing with the cities, dealing with the purchasing of a church, dealing with the banks, dealing with QuickBooks, dealing with all of the stuff we deal with. I can't believe He teaches us how to do that kind of stuff. Who would have thought? And then the difficult family situations you deal with, the difficult ministries, they get more perplexed, it seems, at times. And when you get an easy one, you're just like, ooh, cool. But some of them are perplexed. People are complicated creatures. We all are. And so, you know, we've been puzzled before. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I've been puzzled. Many times the Apostle Paul goes, I don't know how to get out of this. Perplexed, puzzled. Confused. But it says, not in despair. God gets him out. God gets you out. God gets me out. What school should the kids go to? It costs too much to pay for private, but I may have to do it. You know, should I marry him? Should I marry her? Should I buy this? Should I sell this? Should I go here? Should I go there? Should I go to this church or that church? Whatever. Perplexing things. Because of God, we're not in despair. He shows us exactly what to do. There's not a problem that you and I have that's too perplexing for God. And he says, persecuted but not forsaken. To be persecuted, you know what it is. It means to be hated on because of your faith. It can mean to be abandoned, excluded. People stop calling us, family and friends. They hate on you because of your faith. They hate on you because you stand for God's truth and you will not be deceived. You're standing. When you love God even more than your children, when you love God even more than your spouse, and you will not allow sin in the house, because as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. That's dangerous. Family will bounce on you if they don't want God. Let them bounce.
They're not our God. They didn't die for us. God died for us. Honor God. Amen. We are persecuted but not hated. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end. People leave, people bounce. Why? They don't love the word, you know. Most people that have left our church, you know, they might say, oh, they talk about is serving, 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 and being holy, holy, holy. And it's just the word of God they don't like. This ain't my book. You can go to another church, man. They'll put you, the church up the street, they got a TV and the pastor's on the TV. It's just crazy stuff. We're living in the last days. We want more truth. We want truth. If we don't like it, you know, Lord, change my heart so that I love it. He says, struck down, but not destroyed. I like that. That means to be struck down as by a blow. The Apostle Paul, if we saw him today, or if we saw him in the day of when he wrote this, I wouldn't be shocked. If we looked at him, and well, of course we'd check him out. Like if we can go back to the future or the past, and you're sitting there and you see the Apostle Paul, I wouldn't doubt it if we would see scars on him. And it wasn't because he fell. It was because of his faith. They beat him to a pulp. Imagine, you know, some of us have scars on our knuckles from the old days or on our face. He had them from being a Christian, standing for the Lord. Struck down, he said, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Paul can say, look at my scars. Look what they've done for me, to me, for my Lord's sake. He can think of all the persecution he faced. And no doubt it brought Paul back to what our Lord went through. That's what he means by that statement. I'm always carrying about me the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think about our Lord, remember that point when he was carrying the cross and he fell to his knees and the women were crying, and he said to them, from his knees, from the floor, the cross was too, he was about to hand the cross over to Simon, but not yet. And he told the women, don't weep for me, but weep for your children. To me, it's one of him down like that, not being able to carry the cross. It's so humbling. It's so sobering. That's what serving is. That's what the will of the Lord is. It involves pain. We are exhorted in Hebrews 12 to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He endured the cross. And we're to look at him lest we be discouraged in serving. Are you kidding me? And it says in Hebrews 12, you haven't yet resisted sin unto bloodshed. None of us have bled for the Lord, I don't think, in this room. Maybe you have. Where we serve the Lord so hard that we can say, like Paul, we are carrying the dying of our Lord with us. Are you hard pressed on every side? Are you perplexed? Are you persecuted? Have you been struck down because of your service for the Lord? I'm just reading the word of God to you. This is not my book. No gimmicks here. No, I'm not being deceitful. God called us to serve him. Find anything to do for him. Do it. Help out. Serve him. Obey him. They yanked our Lord's beard. They spit on him. David prophesied in Psalm 22, they pierced my hands and my feet. Isaiah 53 prophesied, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. We're told in Romans 8:16 that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with them, that we may also be glorified together. Don't let the devil lie to you that you don't have to serve, that you're good, you have the excuse that nobody has. You know what? Everybody has to break down rocks in the parking lot or do something strenuous or physical, but there's something you can, just being here regularly blesses other people, saying hi, greeting, doing anything, coming and praying before service. Let's do something. Do something in the community in the name of the Lord and let people know your church and have them come to hear the gospel and be saved. But do something. If you do nothing, why don't you do nothing? Why? Goes back to the garden. They were dependent. And then after Satan, they became independent. What won't you give up for the Lord? When you see our Lord half naked on the floor with the cross, what wouldn't you do? And you know, as we follow him, we experience his enabling. We're not crushed. We're not in despair. We're not forsaken. And the blessings, look around you, have gotten bigger. It sounds tough, and it is. But if you saw the Apostle Paul, I would believe at the time, in spite of all that, there was no one more joyful than him. Because God gives that joy to him and gives that peace to him. If you would take that beating for me, Paul, I will give you the kingdom. And that's what the Lord says. It is the Father's joy to give us the kingdom. But he sees what we do and he sees what we don't do. Driving here in our air conditioning heated cars, I just pray we never make excuses. In the light of the afflictions of the Lord and the apostles, man, we have it made. We might as well get after it for the Lord. Amen? Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And so just like Jesus went to the cross and died in order to save us, he went through all that pain, all that self-sacrifice. He did all of that to save us. The Apostle Paul is saying all of these troubles that he faced, like he's carrying along the dying of the Lord in him, but he's also carrying along him the resurrection of the Lord. So people would see in Paul, man, this dude is stoked. He's happy. He's blessed. He ain't tripping. Yeah, it's hard, but he is the most happiest dude ever. Why? Because he's carrying.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.